Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of my veins, the life inside of my body, 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 body. Crossing arms over many bridges, you bring me to happier days. Follow me, follow me everywhere I go.
Welcome to Kingdom Empowerment Radio. This is tonight's host, Chaplain Kevin Graves, with you again tonight. It is a pleasure to be with my brothers and sisters, and tonight's topic is the Bleeding Church. Again, the Bleeding Church. And as always, we begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you. Lord, we ask that you would heal those, Lord, who are struggling, Lord, in their Christian walk, who are scarred, who are bleeding, Lord, who are tired of the hypocrisy, Lord, of church. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would bring a newness to these individuals who are hurting in the body of Christ, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would empower them by your precious Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, Lord, and that you would illuminate, Lord, and that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord, to the true nature of your Son, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for this opportunity and, again, the privilege to come before you to seek your word, to go deeper into the scriptures. And we thank you for this time of reflection. We thank you for this time of study, and we ask that you would impart your Holy Spirit and your presence in us so that we can clearly see the message that you're sending forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, tonight I want to talk to you. I want to address an issue that is going on within the house of God. There are many believers who are tired of church. They're tired of the hypocrisy of church, and they're looking for a place, a sanctuary. They're looking for hope. They're looking for salvation. They're looking for an escape from the issues of this world. They're looking for who this Messiah is. And sadly, many are being led astray. Many are coming to church for the very first time, and some not for the first time. And they're in search of something. They're looking for this Messiah. They're looking for the character and nature of this Messiah. And tragically, in many cases, they're finding the contrary. I want to talk to those leaders, those pastors, those apostles, those evangelists, those prophets, and those teachers, and not just the leaders of the church, but also the congregation members who are at a place right now where they are being emotionally drained, spiritually drained, and they're being pulled on, and they're tired, and they're not just physically tired, but they're spiritually drained. And I want to speak to those individuals, and I definitely would love to pray for those leaders who are looking for help in this particular area. I once heard a woman say that there are leaders who are in a position of leadership and who are also bleeding at the same time. And sadly, this is the case. It is the case for many leaders. And these leaders, whoever they are, have put on a face, and they are indicating, or they may appear, that everything is okay, but privately they're in pain and they're in anguish, and they're in the process or nearing quitting or saying, I can't do this anymore. The weight and the call is too heavy. The pull is too heavy. I'm only human. Ultimately, we must lean on God. And when a leader is feeling that the weight of ministry and that the people are pulling on this ministry, that's when we need to really reevaluate and take a step back and ask God to intervene and say, Lord, the weight and the pull of the people is too great, and we need help. And this is where, again, as I have spoken about in previous segments regarding the power of the Holy Spirit, where even our leaders need prayer. We ask so much of our pastors, of our prophets, of our apostles and evangelists and teachers and those in leadership. We ask and demand so much from them, and in many cases they do oblige, and they intervene and intercede for us and pray for us and counsel us, and they do these things. Why? Because this is what the office has required of so many of our leaders. But I also would like to say that we need to keep our leaders in prayer. Why? Because they're human, and yes, they do come under demonic attack. And as a congregation, it's important that brothers and sisters, when they pray not only for themselves, but they pray for others, that they pray for the leadership in the church, that they pray that God would cover them, that no weapon formed against their ministry, formed against their calling, formed against what God is doing in their lives, should prosper against them. And we need to pray fervently for our leaders. Why? Because in many cases, they are the mouthpiece of God. They are the seers of God. And we must pray fervently for them because, as I said earlier, they do come under attack. My brothers and sisters, as I said earlier, unfortunately, there is hypocrisy within the body of Christ. In fact, the Bible and the Apostle Paul's letter, Romans chapter 2, there's a scripture chapter in Romans chapter 2, and I'll start at verse 17. The scripture reads as follows. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Excuse me, verse 18. And knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? That's a question. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So my brothers and sisters, we have individuals here, and we can also bring this to the present day, to the 21st century. There are those that have the outward appearance of holiness, and they speak very eloquently and knowledgeable about the things of God, but their actions are showing something completely different. And unfortunately, this is what we're seeing, and this is where the confusion comes in. And we know that the God we serve is not a God of confusion. So we have individuals who are coming into the church who are looking for spiritual guidance, who are looking for a relationship with God, and yet they see a pattern of behavior which contradicts what the Bible says regarding the true nature and character of Jesus Christ. And there are individuals who are scratching their head saying, wait a second, this is the reason why I left the last church that I was in, because there was something different about this particular church, only to find out that this church is a mirror image of the place that I just came from. My brothers and sisters, I should also say this, and I would be remiss if I didn't, that there is no perfect church. Let me say that again. There is no perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect sanctuary. God is perfect, and He's perfect all by Himself. So then, who are we? Well, we are imperfect vessels, and we are striving for spiritual maturity. I think it's very important that we make a very clear distinction between the holy God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and imperfect man. Now, are we held to a standard? Absolutely we are. Absolutely. And this is where we must be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must not be led of our own understanding. We must not be led of our flesh. We must not be led by money. We must not be led by platform. We must not be led by the things of this world. We are not in ministry to boast in ourselves. We are not in ministry to be seen or to have groupies around us who clamor towards us, who exalt us. No. This is not why we're in ministry. We're not in ministry for a pat on the back. We're not in ministry to again, as I said, to accumulate mammon. We're in ministry for the sole purpose of glorifying God. We are in the I don't want to call it business, but we are in ministry because God has set us apart. He has called us to a particular office. And since I did bring it up, unfortunately, the ministry has become a business. It has become an institution where individuals have profited from ministry, and they have profited off of the vulnerability of people who are looking for help. And this is tragic. What a horrible thing that we would manipulate and control people who are hurting, people who are vulnerable, people who are looking for help, people who are demon-possessed and oppressed, people who are looking for supernatural intervention, and we're preying on these individuals for what? For money, so that when they do get the deliverance that they need, we can gloat in it, we can boast and what they have done and what their hands have done, and tragically, they're not giving honor to where honor belongs. It is not I, but God. We are just vessels. We are just men and women who God has anointed to bring about change, to bring about a blessing, to bring about healing, to bring about deliverance. So we need to make a very clear distinction between the acts of man, the pursuit of man, and the pursuit of God. Do not blame God for the acts of irresponsible people. I want to say this again. Do not hate on God for the acts of irresponsible, ignorant people. God is God all by himself. Do not say, okay, because I've been hurt so badly, because I have been betrayed by human beings, I'm no longer going to serve God. I'm no longer going to church. I'm no longer going to participate in the things of God because I've seen the hypocrisy of human beings. Do not punish, do not blame God for the acts of imperfect people. Because, again, when we stand before God in judgment, this cannot be our excuse. But, Lord, the reason I did not serve you was because of these hypocritical individuals who are idol worshipers, who are self-serving, who do not care about the needs of people, who only care about themselves. God is not going to want to, he's not going to want to hear that. We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We must seek God for ourselves. Do not look at imperfect man as an excuse not to serve God. We must, again, as I said before, not to belabor the point, we must seek God in its totality. You know, the scriptures makes it very, very clear in Matthew's gospel, and since I brought it up, I'm going to go there. And I'm sure we all know the scripture when it says to seek first the kingdom of God. And here's the key now that a lot of us ignore or forget about: his righteousness. We must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not our own righteousness, because we don't have any righteousness. There's none righteous before God. But the scripture reads in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, verse 33, says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you." So my brothers and sisters, it is important that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his holiness, his nature, his character. And when we seek him first, all these things. Now, when we think of things, sometimes we think about carnal things. We think about temporal things, and that may very well be the case. But I want to go a step further, that when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and all these things, let's take those things and let's say those are spiritual things, not temporal things. That, Lord, I'm seeking you first. I'm seeking you, not man, because I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about what holiness is. I want to know more about what righteousness is. And I want to know these things, because in knowing these things, I'm going to know you. And I must say that when we do this and we're seeking God and not man, God will respond. Why? Because God makes it very, very clear in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's go there. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I'm sure many of you know it off the top of your head. And the word of God reads very quick, very plainly. It says, "If my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So the instruction is there. God gives us the instruction. And this is the instruction for a church that is wounded. And when I'm talking about a church, I'm not referring to a building now. I'm not referring to a building. You are the church of the living God. And so, my brothers and sisters, let me make that clear. I don't think I did. I want to make it clear now. When I'm talking about a bleeding church, I'm not talking about a bleeding building. I'm talking about the followers of God. I'm talking about the believers of God who want to serve him, who want to know more about him. So when we're doing these things, he's given us a very clear instruction, okay? If my people who are called by my name, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. He's telling you what you need to do. Humble yourself, a child of God. He says to pray. He says to seek his face, to turn from our wickedness. And he will do what? He will hear. He will hear this intercession. He will hear what we're doing. And in doing this, he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive our sin, and he will bring healing. So, and this is the instruction that we need to follow. This is the instruction for the church that has been wounded, that is bleeding. And even the instruction for our leaders. Sometimes we need to get back to basics. And I know it sounds very fundamental. Many of us are very well versed in scripture. Many of us have doctorates in divinity. Many of us are theologians, are very well educated people when it comes to scripture. And sometimes there's a point in our life when we, you know, have to get back to the basics and return to our first love and get back to that place where when we first came into the body of Christ, there was a certain love, there was a certain fire, and many of our leaders, their lamps are running out of oil. They're losing that fire. They're losing that desire to want to preach, to want to counsel. I know even in my chaplaincy training, we call it compassion fatigue. And it's something that is very common in my field of chaplaincy, compassion fatigue, or there's another word, it's called burnout. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves becoming heartless, cold in our ministry and in our counsel. And we even find ourselves caring less and less about the people who we serve. Why? Because there's such a strain and tug and pull on the men and women of God to serve people. And because of this tug and pull, we become what we say fatigued or burned out. And the servant of God must identify that they are going through this burnout. And sometimes the men and women of God need a break. We need to step away. A lot of us are full-time ministers. Many of us are living off of the gospel. We're full-time ministers of the word. And some of us need to take a break from time to time. And as much as is required of us, believe it or not, we need a break. And we know there's a huge responsibility that the men and women of God must adhere to and must follow, but there must be a time when we take a step back and we, again, we get into our prayer closet. Maybe we take a couple of days off. Maybe we take a week off from ministry, although we're always ministering in some capacity, but to eliminate this potential for burnout or compassion fatigue. And you can do some research on this. It's very common in ministry. This is something that we need to do. We need balance in our ministry. It's one thing to want to serve people, to want to help them, and that's good. But at the same time, we must be very, very aware that we do fall prey or fall into what we call burnout. And that's something I just wanted to share. I do also want to open up the phone lines. It is approximately 7:29 for anyone who has any questions or comments regarding tonight's topic. And again, it is tonight's topic is the bleeding church, the bleeding church. Again, I want to open up the phone lines for anyone who has any questions or comments on tonight's topic. If not, then I'll just continue forward. Any questions or comments on tonight's topic? Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, woman of God.
Hi, God bless you. The topic on the bleeding church, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Which I think is a great topic, by the way. And there have been many people, vast majority of people throughout the body of Christ that has experienced church hurt. And you mentioned it in retrospect that, you know, the house of God is supposed to be considered a house of prayer. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where God's glory dwells, where they're supposed to receive healing and restoration and coming into the identity of who they are. And one of the questions that stood out to me that Jesus said in the Bible, he asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Lord, I love you. And he didn't ask his question once. He asked his question three times. And then he said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And I believe that's where we're experiencing the disconnect because people are bleeding, people are hurting, and they're not seeing the example of Christ because there's a lack of love stemming from leadership from pulpit all the way down to pew. Because when we first learn how to love God and experience the love of God and know what it is that he requires for his church and love his church as the way he loved and how he would take care of it, and how he loves his people. When we come into that understanding, then we will begin to reciprocate. We will begin to be that replica of him, demonstrating that love to his people. But on the contrary, we see that people are not receiving. People are not receiving that love that they're supposed to be getting because there are so many people that are broken, even in leadership. They're broken. They're fragmented. They're dealing with full-blown fragmentation. And so what I would say to a lot of people, don't look at the title and don't look at the vestures and the tires that people wear and the possessions that they have, because there are a lot of people that are in leadership that are titled. Right, but they're still hurting. And I believe I shared this with someone once, that people are looking at the leaders to be doctors, and technically they're supposed to. But really, there's a lot of people in leadership that are patients and not necessarily doctors. And I hope that makes sense. They're leaders that are actually patients in the hospital themselves.
Amen.
That are not necessarily. another sick patient treat another sick patient. Two sick people can't bring about healing. You can't help me, neither can I help you. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. It's a whole bunch of patients and not enough doctors that are whole. And that's what God is looking for. So I believe that that healing needs to start from the pulpit, go straight down. Because there's too many patients, and how can we get that healing that we need? And so as a result of that, those people that are feeble-minded can't really see that, okay, well, they start to turn their back on church, not realizing sometimes leadership needs help themselves. They're bleeding too.
Amen.
You know, so I believe that when leaders are bleeding, that this is where they need to take a step back and retreat. Don't go there and pretend that you healed. Don't stand in front of people and pretend that you're well. Don't stand in front of the people and bleed all over them. No, you get healed first, then you can present yourself to them. You know, so notice, even Christ demonstrated that. You say, how did he demonstrate that? When he was wounded from what other people did to him, he didn't present himself as that same wounded person. He presented himself as a new person in his glorified body, right? And even though he showed Peter his wound, it doesn't mean that he was still wounded. And so that's what we need to do. If we are wounded leaders, take a step back. Don't bleed on the people. Take a step back. Allow someone else to minister and say, I need my restoration. I need my help. I need the balance. I need rest. I'm tired. And so that way you won't be depleted. You'll be effective in ministry, where you will be able to effectively minister to the people, and people can see an example of good leadership where they too can be restored and healed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, woman of God. And again, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Yes, this is a very difficult teaching for many in leadership. And I don't want to just focus on leadership, the congregation as well, but this is all encompassing, because when we look at what Jesus experienced, and as a woman of God had alluded to, which brings me to Matthew's gospel, when after Jesus had said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11, the scripture reads, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So there will be times when we need to be very conscious, and we need to be very, of course, in tune, I think is probably the better word to use, with the needs of our leadership. Jesus at this time had a need. There were angels that came and ministered unto him. So even the Son of God, okay, needed ministering angels. So why not our leadership today? Who's ministering to our leaders? Who's ministering to them? Who's helping them? Where are the individuals that can see the wounds of our leaders and begin to speak into their life? Who are those individuals? Where are they? And because the demand has been placed on them, and people are very hungry and determined to man of God, woman of God, give us a word. And that same God that minister is serving and getting a word from is the same God that you can call on for yourself. So because there is such a pull and a tug on leadership, many have succumbed to that, in a sense where now they have become a form of idol worship, where they're leaning and they're saying, wow, these folks are coming to me. And unfortunately, many have become corrupted. And instead of saying, man or woman of God, yes, the Lord has a word for you, but the word is also to seek God for yourself. The same God that I serve is the same God that can bring you revelation as well. And we must be very, very careful. We must be very, very careful that we are not becoming idols or having the people make idols out of church leadership. And again, in the fivefold ministry, as we have discussed before in segments past, we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists and pastors and teachers. This is for one reason and one reason, and that's to edify the body of Christ. Each one of those offices has a specific role. And if there's an issue, let's say the apostle is going through an issue, and we have prophets there who can see, prophets who can speak into the life, identify problem areas. It's all for the edification of the body. And we need this. And in many cases, there is no apostle, there is no prophet, there is no evangelist, pastor, or teacher. So when we don't have this type of fivefold setting, as the Bible clearly states, that the Lord gave some certain gifts. And if we are in a place where we do not see a demonstration of these gifts, then we need to really seriously look at where we're at. And are we growing? Are we getting better? Or are we in the abyss? Or are we going down a path we should not be going down? So there are many who are in the house of God who are going through a lot of struggles, who are bleeding, and who are looking for direction, who are looking for a demonstration, who are looking for the power of God. And unfortunately, it's church as usual for a lot of brothers and sisters. So, you know, what comes to mind also is there's a scripture in the book of Psalms. David was speaking. In fact, we can go there together. Psalm 55, the word of God reads, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For was it not an enemy that reproached me? Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quickly into hell, for their wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. They cast burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So there are going to be individuals who we're going to be very close to. they're going to be individuals who, as the scripture says, who we're going to take sweet counsel together, who are going to walk into the house of God and lift up holy hands and fast with and pray with and even pray for. And they're going to be these deceitful individuals, these hypocritical individuals who, unfortunately, who are going to smile in our face, but behind our backs, say hurtful things. And they're going to be, as the scripture says, their words will be smoother than butter, but war will be in their heart. Now, this is a very, very destructive thing. It is a very hurtful thing because these are individuals who we call our brothers and sisters. These are going to be individuals who we call church leaders, who we, in many cases, hold a very high standard to. But unfortunately, again, there's a different agenda. This is, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, our sin nature. This is human nature. But where's the transformation? Where have we gone from a carnal state to now a supernatural state where we are now operating not according to the will of man, but according to the will of the Spirit? And there must be a change. We cannot continue to go into the house of God and call ourselves believers and call ourselves church leaders and minister and call ourselves the faithful, and yet we're living a hypocritical life. This is a church that God does not honor. God does not honor hypocrisy. He wants a church that is a loving church. He wants a church that is a true spirit-filled church that is led by him, that is not led by any other agenda. And when we uncover this deception, it is a hurtful thing. And this is where a lot of people leave the church. They come into the church hurt, and they leave even worse than when they came in. And my brothers and sisters, this is something that we must, number one, identify. If you find yourself, my brothers and sisters, in a church that is bleeding, should you leave that place? I'm not going to tell you that you should leave that place. Maybe some might, but I would say that that is a church that is in need of reformation. That is a church that is in need of prayer. That is, I would even probably go as far to say that's a church that is in need of deliverance, because that is not the will of God. That is not a dwelling place where the Spirit of God is, if this is a wounded church. In many cases, intercession is needed. Sometimes people will identify and say, Pastor, are you okay? I'm just sensing that you're in need of prayer. And sometimes the man or woman of God will say, no, everything's okay, I'm fine, but thank you for asking. But everything is not okay, it's not fine, and they're in need of prayer. We must come to a place of candor and say to ourselves, look, we don't have it all together. We may be an apostle, we may be a prophet or what have you, or in some other leadership capacity. We don't have it all together. We have not yet apprehended. And we do go through struggles. We do go through hardship. And I do understand that we have to be careful who we speak to with regards to opening ourselves up, because often you can't open up yourself to everyone. Not everyone is mature enough to handle your struggle. That's a given. So discernment should be applied here for those men and women who are in leadership and you're hurting. I just want to say that God is the only answer. I pray that you have someone in leadership who you can go to. Maybe that person is a congregation member who you trust. But definitely get back into your prayer closet. Maybe you're in your prayer closet And maybe you need to set aside a time of fasting, as the Holy Spirit would lead you to do so. But sometimes we need to return to our first love, return back to that place where we first believed, and really say, Lord, I need help. I need you. I don't know where else to go. The people around me, I don't know if I can really confide in them. I don't know. I don't think they're mature enough. But Lord, I come before you. Lord, I take this step back. I sit myself down before you. I lay myself down before you, in repentance, if need be, in consecration. And we need to get back to this place of holiness, this place of consecration, when we feel that we're bleeding, when we feel that we are burned out and we're going through this ministerial fatigue, and just say, Lord, I need to get back into your presence, because in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is peace. In your presence is comfort. In your presence is restoration. In your presence is your balm. And that is where we long to be. So our comfort is not in things. It is not in people, but it is in the Holy Spirit. It is in God. So for our church leaders, for our congregation members who are feeling burned out, who are feeling hurt, they're feeling hurt, and you've been hurt even by people within the church, and get to that secret place. If you don't know how to pray, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, pray for me. Pray for my mind. Pray for my heart, because I know I need to be in your presence. The Bible says that I'm not to forsake the assembling. Lord, lead me. Lead me to even a house of God. Lord, lead me to a place where your Spirit is. I don't want to be in a house that is hypocritical. I don't want to be in a place, Lord, where your Spirit is absent. I don't want to be in a dry place. I want to be in a place where, Lord, your Spirit dwells. I can be edified by your Holy Spirit, and I can grow. I can grow, and I can move into the calling that you have set for me. So the answer is in prayer. The answer is in fasting. The answer is in consecration. So I just wanted to share that, my brothers and sisters. There's a lot of us out here who are looking for direction, and we're not getting it. And many of us are seeking answers in different places and not getting the answers that we're seeking. And a lot of us remain in the condition that we're in. And we're in positions of leadership, as well as being in the congregation, and yes, we're hurting. So I wanted to open up the lines one more time. There's a little more than 5 minutes left in tonight's program. Again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves, and tonight's topic is the bleeding church. So I do want to open up the phone lines one more time for any questions or comments. On tonight's topic. Any questions, additional closing comments on tonight's topic? Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, God bless you once again, man of God.
God bless you.
My final point that I wanted to make, and I'll just say this real briefly, is that a lot of ministers in ministry don't have accountability partners. And that's something that we should have. You know, some individuals like to be an independent source, which I believe no one should be an independent source. Ultimately, God is the governing authority in our life, but we also should have accountability partners that keeps us accountable and look after us. Our brother being our brother's keeper, really, and which is what Scripture says. It's biblical that we're to be our brother's keepers, because iron sharpens iron. So whenever one iron gets dull, the other person is there to strengthen them and build them up and to encourage them and to lift them up, because we have our moments. Excuse me. We have our moments where, you know, we will feel despondent, we'll feel down, and and discouraged and feel like I just care about, I want to throw in the towel. But when you have accountability partners, you know, you have one that will tell you the truth. You know, or individuals around us that's going to tell the truth, that's not going to come with the truth, that will build us up and we're down. You know, Shanti Jakes like to call it the confidant. You want the confidant who is confidential and that's to be judgmental without condemning you, but want to know you. And we need the accountability partners that are confident, that you and that look after the, your welfare. They look, they are accountable to you. They love you. And I see people have that enough. And I believe that as believers and as ministers of the gospel, we should be surrounded by a company of people that have our best interests and not those who actually.
You're breaking up a little bit, woman of God.
Yes.
Yeah,
better. So I was just. I'm sorry. I was just sharing that we should have good accountability partners that have our best interest in heart. And as I said, in retrospect, that Dick calls them the confidants, those who will keep your information confidential that you can show your nakedness to. They won't judge you. They won't condemn you. And that's the person that will always give you a listening ear and to that will encourage you whenever you're feeling down. Down and out, and you're feeling despondent, whether you want to throw in the towel and say, I want to give up. Those are the individuals that intervene for you. They will stand proxy. They will pray for you. They will intercede. They will strengthen you in your time of weakness. And those are the individuals whom we need to be surrounded by whenever we are experiencing moments of feeling down and as if we're bleeding. We need those individuals in our lives. And, so that's what I want to share in closing. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, accountability partners, and we need that. We need people who are going to make it plain to us, and they're going to bring about correction when it's needed, and let us know that, hey, my brother, my sister, you know, is everything okay? And number one, you have to truly love the individual. And you have to really care about their well-being. And I think that's really what it comes down to, having individuals who will judge you not in an unrighteous way, but they will judge you in a fair way. They will assess the situation. And if you're out of line, yes, they will bring about correction. They will let you know that, man, a woman of God, that's not the way to go about this. Too many of us, idolize our leaders, and we wouldn't dare approach another leader in such a way because it's inappropriate. Well, if your leader is in error, now I understand it's important that we should do things in love. Well, it's because I love my leader so much that I'm saying what I'm saying. Now, of course, yes. It's important that what we do say, we say it in love, and sometimes you just have to be very honest. If something is not of God, if it's not holy, and if they're going down a very dangerous path, instruction must be brought. And as hurtful as it may be, that leader may disagree with us, that leader may even rebuke us for speaking to them and bringing this to their attention. But hey, so be it. This is something that needs to be done. If our leaders are in error, someone needs to make them aware of this. And accountability partners are very, very important. Thank you for that, woman of God. And again, as I said, because in many churches we idolize and I would go as far to say even worship those in leaders and leadership, we wouldn't think about approaching another leader because they can do no wrong. Well, we know better. There are leaders who, unfortunately, are not very good leaders, or they're merely leaders because of relationships that they have with other people. And we do have misplaced leadership. We have people who are in offices where they should not be because they have not gone through a process in order to get there. And that's a topic for another day. But again, in closing, thank you, woman of God, for sharing. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. And also thank you, Dr. Ganni, as well, for Kingdom Empowerment Radio. Thank you for everything that you're doing here at Kingdom Empowerment Radio. Thank you for your husband as well. And much success in the days ahead with regards to this ministry. My brothers and sisters, time is running short, approximately with about 1 or 2 minutes left in the program. Again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves. I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month. Thank you for joining me tonight on Kingdom Empowerment Radio. And again, I pray that tonight's topic was of assistance, the Bleeding Church. And again, looking forward to the next time when we meet on Kingdom Empowerment Radio. Once again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves, thanking you for joining me on Kingdom Empowerment Radio. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me. You can do so at pkwgraves@gmail.com. Again, that is pkwgraves@gmail.com. To whom much is given, much is required. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Again, Chaplain Kevin Graves signing off for tonight. God bless you and be well. Bye now.